Let's make our confession right now. It is that I am here on purpose because I have a purpose. My heart is open. My mind is ready to receive because God is not finished with me yet. My best days are right in front of me. I have victory in my life because Jesus lives in me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Before you're seated, it is the will of God always to heal. We're not moved by any report, although we thank God for doctors. We thank God for the reports that they give us. But we have a higher doctor. We have a higher physician. We have a higher report. And that is that God's will is to heal you. How many of you need healing in your body today? Would you lift your hands really high? And believers, I want you to look around at all the hands that you see back in this section, all the way over there on the end. Anybody that we're missing, if we are, wave your hand and begin to pray now. If you can't get to somebody, just stretch your hand out toward them. Father, we stand upon your word. Your word says that we will lay hands on those that are struggling, and that they will be healed. We speak healing in the name of Jesus. We bind sickness and disease. It is part of the curse. It is part of the fall. We speak forth healing in the name of Jesus. When the Roman centurion said, "Jesus, you speak a word, my servant will be healed." The woman with the issue of blood said, "Touch the hem of that garment, I know I'll be healed." We know it is your will to heal. We believe it. We speak it forth. We declare it. We decree it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, "I am healed by the stripes of Jesus." Good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. You can be healed. The Word of God says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And Chris, I shared this with Morgan in the first service, but if you guys could do this as a project, it would be awesome. This is a book by a somewhat famous author by the name of Bill Adler, and he does a lot with children. And these are letters from children that pastors have forwarded to him from around the country. And how many of you know that the old Art Linkletter kids say the darndest things? Kids are cute. I got a couple of them I picked out for you here today. I thought they were kind of cute. This one is from Roger. He is age 7. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The more you like to laugh, the more you just actually speak to your immune system and strengthen. This is Roger, age 7. "I am a very religious person. I never do anything bad on Sunday." "Dear Pastor, I know God..." Now, this is an 8-year-old from Nashville. "Dear Pastor, I know God loves everybody, but he's never met my sister." Okay, there's a couple more. We'll go. This is from a little 9-year-old in Baltimore. "Dear Pastor, do I have to say grace before every meal, even when I'm eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?" "Dear Pastor, please say in your sermon that Peterson has been a good boy all week. I am Peter Pierce Peterson." "Dear Pastor," and this is the, I like this one. "Dear Pastor, my father should be a minister. Every day he gives me a sermon about something." And we got one more coming up. Oh, I got two more. "Dear Pastor, did God," and this is a little 9-year-old. "Dear Pastor, did God make girls smarter than boys? My big sister says so." And I found one other. I thought, oh, here it is. "Dear Pastor, my father said," and this is the 10-year-old. From Pasadena, South Pasadena. "Dear Pastor, my father says I should learn the Ten Commandments, but I don't think I want to because we already have enough rules in my house." If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Mark chapter 11. We pretty much gave the message during the worship. John picked out a great worship, and we really thank God for John and Justin and Hubert. I pray for Hubert. I think he left, but he's having surgery, a hip replacement. We prayed with him in the first service for him Monday morning at 11 o'clock, and he is going to come out in flying colors because he is one tough dude. But the word of the Lord today is that you serve a big God, and that every single one of us have faced, are facing, or will face something that we hadn't planned on. It just comes our way. And that we're going from glory to glory and from victory to victory, but there are some obstacles and some mountains that appear in all of our lives. And the way we approach it and the way we go through it determines whether or not we're going to attract the victory or whether we're going to allow fear to take hold of us. You know what fear feels like. I know what fear feels like. God has not given us fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. But we also know that the devil, everybody say the devil, he is the author of fear. He brought fear into mankind in the garden. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But God has wanted us to live a life of faith, that when the mountains of life come, when the obstacles of life come, we don't just look at them and let them overtake us and become fearful and start describing how big the mountain is. We start describing how big my God is. Your God is bigger than any mountain you will ever face. Tell your neighbor, my God's bigger than anything I will ever face. And then tell them, and God is bigger than anything you will ever face. And when we get this deep within us, we will understand that we truly are called to go from victory to victory. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a couple of obstacles along the way, but every single one of them is an opportunity for you to release your faith and grow through the midst of it, whether it's a storm, whether it's a mountain, whether it's a disappointment, whether it's discouragement, whatever it is that tries to stop you from releasing your faith, you command that out of your way. And the Word of God through Jesus said, have faith in God. Speak to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt. There, in other words, no fear, but does not doubt. You will have whatever you say. Turn to your neighbor and say, whatever you say. You look at that mountain and you describe it, you're going to have fear. You're going to have worry. You're going to have doubt. You're going to have unbelief. You look at that mountain and say, I command you out of my way. I command you to be cast into the sea. My God is taking care of my health. My God is taking care of my mind. My God is taking care of my family. My God is taking care of everything. I will not worry. I will not be fearful. I will not have unbelief. You start speaking and living that. You start walking in the fullness of what God has for you. When Pam and I first came together, and it was a miracle of God, and I won't go through all of that. Someday we'll give our testimony again because we have so many new people in our church. But when we came together, Pam wanted to get married right away. And I said, you might want to wait a while. I have a few finances to take care of. And she said, oh, no. How many of you know, realize love can be blind? After we got married, she realized what I was talking about. And I think sometimes she shook her head like maybe I should have waited a little bit. I got the right one. I may have them the wrong time. I brought $30,000 worth of debt into our marriage. I had made some bad decisions. Can I see the hands of all the bad people? Not bad people. Can I see the hands of all the people that have made bad decisions from time to time, and my hands are raised? I've never made a decision I thought was bad. Every decision I ever made, I thought was a good decision. I only found out afterwards it was really a bad decision. But anyway, that happened. And I remember when we first came together and we went to Tulsa, and I had to reveal to her what I tried to reveal to her in a statement that said, I have some debt that I would probably need to take care of before we get married. Oh, no, honey, let's just get married. And then after we got married, I still didn't want to reveal it to her, but finally I did one day reveal it to her. It's $30,000. And she just kind of did a double take, like, why didn't I list? Now, she didn't say this, and I know it's not true, but just for funny sake, I think her thought process was, maybe I should have listened to you and said, we will wait a little bit. But God, the first thing God did was send us to Tulsa. And two of the first scriptures that I ever really heard that ministered to me and really took hold in my life was Philippians, and you hear me quote them all the time. It's Philippians 4:13 and Philippians 4:19. And Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I knew I couldn't take care of what needed to be taken care of. But when I got a hold of that scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I got a hold of Philippians 4:13. My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Then I begin to meditate those, even though that debt didn't go away, it was still there, but it became something that I could see God bigger than that debt. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's bigger than any debt you might have. It doesn't matter whatever you're facing. God is bigger than that debt. God is bigger than that report. God is bigger than any mountain that is in the way of what God wants you to have. And God wants you to have everything that is in that word. And when I was out in Tulsa, we began to be involved with Victory Christian Center, and we had a building project. And some of you have heard this story before, but we had a building project, and we're going to build at 4400 South Sheridan, and we had an air dome, and everything had been already committed to pay for. And the way it was being paid for is Pastor Doherty went to the bank and borrowed $3 million. At the time, we thought that was a miracle. $3 million he would borrow. But we couldn't service the debt. The congregation couldn't service the debt load. All we could do is pay the interest. And all of a sudden, he realized he had made a mistake. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've made mistakes. He realized he'd made a mistake. And again, some of you have heard this story before, but it's worth repeating. It builds my strength. It builds my strength every time I hear it. And he said that the Lord showed him he had made a mistake. This was not the plan of God for his life, and he needed to change immediately. Sometimes we just need to come to a conclusion. I have made a mistake. I found out who the problem is. It's me. I made a mistake. I need to repent of it. I need to turn, and I need to move on with what God has. And when he did that and stood before the congregation, many people told him that, well, nobody's going to want. He said, we're going to sell this church and we're going to sell this property and we're going to get out of a $3 million debt. And everybody, not everybody, but many of the people said, you can't sell it. It's an old car dealership that looks like a church. Nobody wants it. He was not encouraged by people. Can I see the hands of all the people that sometimes you seek encouragement from other people and you found out that's the wrong place to go? You've got to be encouraged in the Lord and in the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And it's not that other people can't encourage us. They can. But your encouragement doesn't come from other people. Your encouragement comes from the Lord. And so he said, no, we're going to. God has shown me he's going to do it. And God, in his infinite wisdom, always bigger than the mountain. Everybody say, always bigger than the mountain. Send Sam Walton down Lewis Avenue in Tulsa, Sheridan Avenue in Tulsa, Oklahoma, sees a for sale sign, says, what is that? And said, that's a church that wants to get out of debt. They owe $3 million. And in one moment's time, everybody say one moment. One moment's time, Sam Walton says, give them $3,100,000. The ministry comes out of debt and puts $100,000 in the bank. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'll take some of that. In one moment's time, they got a $100,000 surplus. Why? Because somebody had faith in God to move the mountain and knew that God was bigger than his mistake. Tell your neighbor, God is bigger than your mistake. God is bigger than anything that we will ever confront. And I'm telling you, when I heard the story about the $3 million, and we were part of the whole thing, my $30,000 looked awfully small at the time compared to $3 million. It doesn't matter what the amount is, your God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Why will he do that? Because he loves you. He loves you. But there is a fear factor that is out there that the devil walks about this world trying to destroy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He's trying to destroy. The only way he can get through to you is to impart fear into your life. He's trying to steal the Word of God, which fuels our faith. In other words, he can't have any part of you as long as you're walking by faith. But when you allow fear to get a hold of you, then he'll have you, because fear divides you from God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, when mankind sinned, Adam and Eve, and they had fellowshiped with God before they had missed God. A lot of people, once they miss God, they begin to run from God. That's not the time to run from God. Every single one of us have missed God, and we may miss God again. But don't do it on purpose. But when you do miss God, and you find out you miss God through the love of his conviction, then run to God. Don't ever run from God. Tell your neighbor, don't ever run from God. Adam ran from God. And he hid with Eve. And when God showed up on the scene, and God said, Adam, where are you? God knew exactly where Adam was. He just wanted to see what he would say. And Adam said, I was afraid. I was afraid. Who was he afraid of? He was afraid of God. We never are to be afraid of God. God is our friend. God wants to deliver us. God is our source for every single thing that we have need of, bigger than any obstacle, bigger than any situation, bigger than anything that you will ever face. God is there. And when we get this deep within us, how important faith is. The Word of God says that anything that is done without faith is sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And it's talking and paraphrasing some items about food there, but he's talking about anything that if you're doing it without faith, that it's not pleasing to God, because God is only pleased when we walk by faith, Hebrews 11, 6. So therefore, faith is taking the Word of God, appropriating the Word of God, and letting it minister to every part of our need. Now, in 1 John, it's a powerful, powerful scripture, but it ends up talking about fear. And it starts out by saying in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your spirit man that was dead is now alive, and the love of God and the power of God and the faith of God. Everybody say the faith of God. See, we read it a moment ago, Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. That faith is in you. If you are born again, you have it in you, because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, you have that faith in you. You have the power of God in you. And it goes on to say that love has defeated fear, and that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And it says that we are to have, through this, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says that we will have a spirit of boldness. Love has been perfected in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, and that as he is in this world, so are we. That we have boldness in the day of judgment. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. The devil is the author of fear, but he has no ability or power to make you fearful. Turn to your neighbor and say, the devil can't make you fearful. Only your thought life can make you fearful. And your thought life has to come away from faith and on to fear to open the door to the devil. And that's why it's so important that you understand this. There isn't a single one of you, myself included, that hasn't felt the torment of fear. It's because we get our focus in the wrong place. And then we start to run. What we do is we think we're running away from the fear, but the fear is actually chasing us. And we don't see it in a visual like this, although we're going to see a visual in just a moment that really is going to show you this. But when you start to run away from fear, then the fear is always propelling you from the backside. And you start to succumb to it, and you start to run. I'll never be wealthy. I'll never have all my debts paid. I'll never have a relationship. I'll never be married again. I'll never have a business again. I'll never. And you start to agree with the mountain, and you start to describe the mountain in your life instead of speaking to the mountain. And when I was out there in Tulsa, I'll never forget this. Part of my challenge was with the Internal Revenue Service. I don't know if any of you have ever been in trouble with the Internal Revenue Service, but my advice to you is don't. And if you are in trouble, do whatever you have to. If you have to get rid of a child, sell a child, do whatever you can, but do not be in debt to the IRS. You know I'm just kidding. I'll never forget this. I'm sitting in the IRS office in Tulsa. I'm in Bible school. The church is opening every single door for me to be involved in ministry. I'm wondering if they know what they're doing. I know I don't know what I'm doing. And every single door is open, and I get this note from the IRS. And I thought, I knew it was coming. And so I go down and sit with the lady from the IRS. She was the meanest lady I've ever met. But she did me a favor. She made me cry. but she did me a favor. And I'm sitting in her office. I'll never forget this. Feel it right now. And I said, I'm doing the best I can. I had worked out a payment schedule. And the payment schedule was penalties on top of penalties on top of penalties, and it is a mess. And finally I said, the penalties are really killing me. She said, okay, I'm going to take off the penalties. And so we just pay the interest and what you owe. I said, that's fine. And she said, now I notice here that you have a tithe. You give tithe, because I had to submit a budget back in that day to them. And I said, yeah, 10% to the Lord. And she says, we're going to allow that. Don't like it, but we're going to allow that. So, well, thank you. And I said something to her concerning the Lord and whatever. And she said, well, Mr. Mickler, after all, you did steal from the United States government. And I thought, who in the crap are you? And then I thought, it was money I owed the government that I didn't pay. Her description of how I did it and mine were two different things, but they were both right. I owed the money to the government. I hadn't paid the government. And I sat there and I came face to face with the realization, you know what, this is really my problem. I am the problem. And I remember, I didn't cry in front of her because I just wanted to hit her. Not really. But I remember going out and getting in my car and I just started to cry. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. Can I see the hands of the people that have ever been there? I don't know what to do. And I just sat in the car and said, I don't know what to do. This is what I heard. I do. And I said again, I said, but I don't know what to do. And this is what I heard again. I do. I said, if you give it all to me, I'll take care of you. I can't tell you how soon it happened, but it happened. Got all the debt paid off. None of it was forgiven. I'm glad now it wasn't. Got all the debt paid off. Walked out of the Mabee Center one day. See, I'm believing God can take care of any mountain. So now I'm just walking like, I'm walking like the Word of God said. I haven't been perfected, but I'm being perfected. And I'm seeing God's hand move. And I'm thinking, wow, if I get out of the way, this is pretty good stuff. Because my God is bigger than any need that I ever have. And I watch God begin to open the door over and over and over again as I would walk by faith and not by sight. It didn't mean we didn't have mountains that came up. It meant we didn't look at the mountain. And while we're out there, and this is so important that you understand that God is bigger. I know it's repetitive, but you serve a big God. Let's all say, God is bigger than anything I'll ever face. And I saw so many miracles out there in Tulsa. It was unbelievable. Pastor Billy Joe Doherty, who going through an illness in his life, praying for healing for people all over the world. And he has lymphatic cancer. And Sharon wrote a book, because when he passed away, it really shook a lot of our faith. It's like, we believe in divine health. We believe in healing. We believe that God heals people. We believed he was a man that God used to heal people all over the world. And he passed away, and Sharon wrote this book, and it's awesome, about how the moment, no matter whether it's sickness, disease, or whatever it is, the closer you get to heaven, the more of a pull there is. And that sometimes there's almost a release to want to go on. And how that could have happened, and how she thinks it did happen regarding Billy Joe, that he got a glimpse of heaven and that he wanted to see Jesus person to person. I don't know. I've got a lot of places in my mind where I don't understand, and I just put things on the shelf there, because the Word of God says, lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our steps. And so we saw this giant of a God that we serve just move over and over again. And during that particular time frame, Oral Roberts University got into a lot of trouble. And the founder, Oral Roberts himself, a wonderful man of God, is with Jesus now, but he had retired and he had placed his son in the leadership role. And I'm not saying anything bad about his son, but there were some decisions that were made that did not turn out good. Let's all say, I've been there, done that. They did not turn out good, and the ministry ended up about $10, $15 million in debt. They couldn't really service the debt, and the very survival of Oral Roberts University was at stake. And Pastor Doherty was approached by some people, and they asked if he would become the interim pastor. And he prayed about it, and he told his wife, and it, with everything he had going on, it was probably the last thing in the world anybody would recommend, especially a doctor. But he stepped into that role. And during that period of time that he was there, he held the entire university together, and he felt led of the Lord, his God, the God that he had seen work miracle after miracle after miracle, to contact the Green family. The Green family and the founder of the organization that they created, David Green, Hobby Lobby is what they, David Green started Hobby Lobby in his garage, one of the most successful businesses in all of America. A great book on his life out there, two or three books. And Billy Joe felt to call him. David Green had none of his family attend Oral Roberts University. He was not connected to Oral Roberts University at all, other than the Green family lived in the Tulsa area. They, to try to make a long story short, everybody say, God is huge. We're told of the situation, and through Pastor Doherty, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, said, we'll take care of the entire debt of Oral Roberts University. We believe this university is of God and is a beacon to the world, and took care of the entire debt of the university. Everybody say, we serve a big God. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. This university is affecting the entire world. Now, if you understand how this all works, it doesn't matter what we face, what challenge presents itself to us, faith is activated by the Word of God, and that faith, whatever is not of faith will not please God, and that we walk by faith and not by sight, and that love is what fuels our faith. Everybody's Galatians 5, 6, faith works by love. That's what I said. Faith works by love. Where is that love? That love is in us, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. I have a video I want us to watch. I showed this video about 2 or 3 years ago, but I felt it really fit into this message. There's a movie I saw years ago. I don't know how many of you have ever seen it. There's no talking in the movie, so it doesn't sound very exciting, but I love it. It's called The Bears. Anybody ever see the movie The Bears? It is a fabulous movie on life. And there is a scene in this movie with a cub bear. There are many people, and it so relates to me in life. There are so many people that were confronted with something that they didn't see coming, and all of a sudden it hits you right before you. You have a tendency, if you're not really focused and founded on that faith, you have a tendency to respond with fear. You have a tendency to run away from it instead of standing up to it. Where does the greater one live? That's what I said. The greater one lives in me. So therefore, when you feel that obstacle come against you, that mountain, that fear, you stand against it and you brace yourself with boldness, because you know who you are and you know who is in you. But if you're not careful, you can quickly succumb to the fear. Now, just for information's sake, the little cub bear doesn't realize who he is. So the little cub bear responds to fear. He didn't know who really is inside him or who was going to take care of him. The rest of it, not the power that you have. It's the power of God in you. The devil is not afraid of you. The devil is afraid of God's faith operating in you. And the Word of God in James chapter 4 says, submit to God. Resist the devil, he will flee. If you will let the power of God that's in you fuel your faith, you will see mountains dismiss in your life. You'll see the devil retreat. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. That cougar or whatever it was representing of the devil, all of a sudden the power of that mother bear came out. The devil will flee from the power of God. God will never, ever leave you. He'll never disappoint you. He will always be there for you. Romans 8:28 says, all things that you will ever experience in your life, God will turn them around and use them for good if you love God and if you're called according to His purpose. We are on this earth as royal ambassadors to push back darkness, to push back the enemy off of our lives, off of our families, and to declare the power of God. And we are well equipped to accomplish God's plan. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? I want to ask you the most important question you will ever answer, because it involves eternal life. We are destined by God to live forever. He created mankind to live forever. And if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today needs to be the day you settled the issue. Or maybe you're here and you're like a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. You know you've walked away from the things of God. It's time to come home. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow, but you need to settle the issue of your eternal life. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, you've described me, I know I need to come back to Jesus. I know my life isn't right. I'm going to ask you to slip your hand in the air, and we're going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you know every single person here. And Lord, I thank you for the conviction of your precious Holy Spirit, that if there's anyone here that's away from you, that today would be their day of salvation. We'll wait just a moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving on every heart. Thank you, Jesus. Now, while we're still bowed in prayer, there isn't a single one of us who isn't facing some situation or some circumstance where we are not believing God for the breakthrough. But sometimes you can be up against a situation, and I mean, it is an immediate thing that you need that breakthrough. And I want to pray for anyone that is facing a situation where you're saying, I need an immediate breakthrough. That little cub bear didn't have another moment to waste, needed a breakthrough immediately. And while the cub bear might have thought it was the cub's growl, we know the growl of the father. We know the growl of the mother bear that chased that cougar away. But it is the will of God that you have that breakthrough. How many of you, can I see your hands? You need an immediate breakthrough right now. Can I see your hands? I'm going to ask you to quickly come to the altar. Quickly come down to the altar right now. I believe in the power of laying on hands. I believe that in Jesus' name, God can give you that breakthrough quickly today. Stretch your hands out, those of you that are out there, stretch your hands out toward this altar. And I am believing this. I'm going to lead you in a confession before I pray for you. But as I lay my hands on you, I am believing for the power of God to give you the assurance that you are going to see that breakthrough. It may not happen the way you think it would or thought it would, but I guarantee you, you will see the breakthrough. Many of the times, the breakthroughs that I have been standing for in my life, I never saw it come the way I thought it would. It came a different way, but it was a better way, because God knows how to remove the mountain, and He knows the best way to remove the mountain. So all of you out there in the congregations, face your hands toward these right here. John, lead us in anything you got there, buddy. Stretch your hands out here. Gloria araseta but. Thank you.
heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yeah, I can see a life that is coming for the heart that holds on.
Lift our hands and worship Him one more time. He'll never let go of you. Never let go of you. I want us to go out of here with this confession, because if you will not succumb to fear, you will always see a breakthrough in your life. You'll see that mountain gone. You'll see your finances change. You'll see your tormented mind become focused on the mind of God and renewed to the things of God. Our part is just to let flow out of us what God already put in us. And that is that He's in you. The power of God is in you. So let's make this confession. Lord, I believe with all my heart that I speak to mountains and they be removed. I believe in you, your strength, your power is inside me. I'm going from glory to glory. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. All of my needs are met according to your riches and glory. And Lord, without a doubt, I know this. I can do all things through you who strengthens me. Can you say amen? Let's give the Lord a hand. Go and be blessed. Have a great day.